Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, November 21st, 2010.
Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. The title says it's a song for the Sabbath day. Well, this isn't the Sabbath. This is Sunday. The Sabbath is Saturday. But it is a time when we come together for the sole purpose of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, of worshiping Him. And so this is an appropriate psalm for today. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. The declaration is that it's a good thing to give thanks. The word good, both in the Hebrew word that's used and in our own vocabulary, the word good can have two different meanings. First, it can mean that it's appropriate, and then it can also mean that it's beneficial, and both meanings apply. Giving thanks to God is both appropriate as well as beneficial. For those of us that have been born again, we are the children of the Most High God. We are His creation twice. He created us with the original creation. We descended from Adam, and He made us a new creature. We are His twice. And it's appropriate for His creation to give Him thanks. We owe our natural life to Him. We owe our natural existence to Him. And we should never forget that. It's so easy for us to take that for granted. But everything that we are, we owe to Him. We've received so much from God's grace. Read with me in the 100th Psalm. There are many psalms of thanksgiving. We'll read these two to begin with. But once again, we see how good and proper, as well as beneficial, it is just to say thank you to the Lord. Verse 1 of Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord how? With gladness. I think sometimes we as God's people, even those that are faithful, come to meetings. Sometimes we forget that. God wants us to serve Him, but He wants us to serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. There we see both creations. He created us as far as the human race is concerned, and He made us the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. It's not a suggestion. It is a command, but it's one that we can fulfill gladly and know that it's appropriate and beneficial. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. This morning, as time allows, I want us to consider one of the reasons why thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, is good. Not only, we're not going to concentrate so much on it being appropriate, which it is for the child of God, but for the benefit that we receive from being thankful. Have you ever been around a parent that is trying to teach a child simply to say thank you? Sometimes it's like pulling teeth. And you wonder, is that really worth it? I mean, you're making a big scene here. And for those of you who no longer have little children, and you look at some of the families raising their children, and you kind of shake their head, and you know, they shouldn't be so hard on them. Well, number one, you've forgotten what it was to take care of little children. And number two, thank God for parents that will take time to raise their children in the fear of God. Pray for them. Don't complain about them. I've heard complaints. Don't complain about them. Thank God for them. Pray for them. But we've all been through the torture, either as a parent or watching a parent trying to teach a child just to say thank you. Well, we're going to stand here until you say thank you. I'm not going to say thank you. Oh, just give the kid the ice cream, all right? The reason that a good parent will go to the trouble of teaching a child just to say thank you is because they understand that a thankful heart will keep them from a lot of destruction in their life. And so it's not just a battle of the wits. It is the teaching of that which is the very teaching of the Bible. A lot of God's children fall into a lot of dangerous, self-destructive snares because they have failed to be thankful to God. So we're going to look at some of those snares that we can avoid if we will give thanks to God on a regular basis. Romans chapter 1. The first snare that you can avoid is the snare of unbelief. Romans chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. We'll jump in the middle of this description here. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, the attributes of God, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The human race is without excuse as we see the witness and the testimony of creation. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Have you ever wondered why those first generations so quickly departed from acknowledging and worshiping God? When you read the accounts there in Genesis, God created everything from nothing, and then created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, and then they began to have children and raise their families. And how quickly, beginning with Cain, their firstborn, how quickly they began to drift from acknowledging God and his ways. And then each generation got further and further till we get to Noah. And then their every thought was evil. How did they get there? One of the biggest reasons, they failed to be thankful to God, their creator. They stopped giving thanks for who he was and what he had done for them. And so it wasn't long before they began to believe that, you know, I know what my grandfather Adam told me and what my uncle told me, but I think God is more like a man. And then from there, it began, as you continue the description there in Romans, we get all the way down to, I think God's a cockroach. How do you get there? By not being thankful to God. Why is it that so many of God's people who once possessed an unwavering faith in a living and a powerful God now begin to doubt whether God even cares? We've all known people that have grown up in church and had a genuine walk with the Lord. And now we see them where they even wonder if God even cares. When you gradually stop talking about God and thanking him for what he has done and just simply who he is, it won't be long before you fall into the trap of unbelief. Let's turn to the 105th Psalm. Thanksgiving begins with an attitude of the heart, but it does involve taking time and spending energy to stop and say thank you, simply to praise and worship God, both privately and publicly. All through Scripture and in the New Testament, we have the Bible teaching about the importance of gathering together in Jesus' name and not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. There are a number of reasons why we are to do that and why it's beneficial. But I believe one of the clear reasons why we should come together publicly to worship and to focus our attention on Jesus Christ and his word and his ways is simply it's an expression of our thankfulness for what God has done for us. God, you mean enough to me to take time out of my week to put some energy forth simply to say thank you. So thanksgiving begins in the heart with an attitude. But true thanksgiving also involves action. And this is what we see in Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Do you see the actions involved in thanksgiving? Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. One of the reasons that I love to sing, I enjoy just the mechanics of singing. I just enjoy singing. But I don't just sing any songs. I want to sing songs that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that magnify his works. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. That's part of being thankful. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. We need to take time to thank the God of creation. We need to take time to thank God who saved us and gave us everlasting life. And that takes time and energy. In our testimony, telling others about God. Why is it you care so much about your testimony? Well, unless you're thankful, you don't care about your testimony. Unless you're thankful to God. But being thankful to God will keep you in a walk of faith instead of unbelief. The next snare that thankfulness will keep you out of, that thanksgiving will preserve you from, is false doctrine. Let's go to Colossians 2, verses 6 to 10. This is why God, just like a good father, constantly commands us to give thanks. Just like the good parents that you see raising their children here, and they'll command their children to say thanks. Our Father does the same thing because he knows it will protect us. It is beneficial to us to give thanks to the Lord. Colossians 2, verses 6 to 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Notice this next phrase. As you have been taught, abounding in it, in other words, abounding in that teaching, with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I've often mentioned from the pulpit how it distresses me to see so many believers that have been exposed to the teaching of sound doctrine, Paul's gospel, and to see that they have abandoned that truth. Some even contradict the truth. Others simply compromise it. But I believe that one of the reasons is because they fail to be thankful for that teaching. This is what Paul says. As you've received the teaching, you need to walk in it with thanksgiving. Lord willing, I'll soon be giving probably a rather lengthy series of lessons on essential doctrines. I've given a series of lessons on basic doctrines before, but I feel that we need to specify why we as an assembly are here, so that we understand, so our children understand, and so that we can point others to these glorious doctrines. They're glorious not because we preach them. They're glorious because Jesus Christ gave them to the church. And it's when we fail to be thankful and grateful for these teachings that we begin to let go of them. We begin to devalue them. And the next step after you no longer are thankful for them and you begin to devalue them, you know, it's just a little easy step to compromise. And then from compromise, just walk away from those truths. They're really not that important anyway. Do you see how the process takes place? Do you see why thanksgiving is so important? When was the last time you thanked God for the revelation of the truth of justification by faith alone? Brother Freestone on Wednesday nights is given a series of lessons on the book of Romans. Come listen to that, those lessons, and be thankful for justification by faith. Sanctification, redemption, the two natures. It goes on and on and on. And Lord willing, I'm going to spell those out. Why are we here? What do we stand for? What is it that we are thankful to God for? We're going to spell those out from Paul's teaching. If we're going to be established in faith and rooted and grounded in sound doctrine, we need to do it with thanksgiving, or we will fall into the snare of false doctrine. Philippians 4, the next trap that we can avoid if we will learn to be thankful continually, consistently, constantly, and that is fear. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Fear is such a cruel tormentor. Anxiety. It will literally destroy your physical body and work on your emotions as well. But worst of all, it cripples you spiritually. Fear. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. You know one way you can avoid the destructive power of fear? It's spelled out for us here. Be anxious for nothing. Stop and think. What is it that you may not use the word fear, but be honest with yourself. What are you anxious about today? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's you just don't know what tomorrow's going to hold financially for you. There are so many things that in the natural we have every right to be anxious about. But in the light of the faithfulness of God, as the children of God, what are you anxious about? Be anxious for nothing. But instead of that, this will keep you from that. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here we have a trade-off. You can either be anxious or you can be thankful. If you're thankful, you won't be anxious. If you're anxious, you won't be thankful. Do you see how they don't coexist? Make your request known with thanksgiving. The moment that we begin to ask God for things that we need without giving Him thanks for His past faithfulness, well, then we're going to stop giving Him thanks for what we're looking for now, what we're asking Him for now, what we need now. And that's going to lead to us just stop praying and just focus on worrying, because we're good at it. We know how to do that. Fear is so tormenting. But thanksgiving will cause you to focus on the faithfulness of God. It'll take your focus off what causes you to be anxious. When you give time and energy to giving thanks to God for what He's done and in anticipation of what He's going to do because you know Him to be faithful, do you see where your focus is now centered where it needs to be? On Jesus Christ. When we give thanks to God in making petitions, we're acknowledging, God, You've never failed me yet. And I know You never will. And that leads to peace instead of worry. Now, it doesn't mean that you'll have all the answers and you'll know everything that's going to happen, and that it doesn't mean any of that. It simply means you know God will show Himself faithful. You don't know how. You don't try to explain it. Don't confuse faith with making up things God's going to do for you. That's not faith, that's silliness. Thankfulness to God is, God, I know you know where I am. I know you know what I need. And I know all things work together for my good. And because I know those things, now I could go on and list all the things I don't know, but because I know this, thank you, I'm a child of God. It'll deliver you from fear. Galatians 5 for the next one. Carnal divisions that destroy God's people. The church is a body, it is a family, and when there are carnal divisions among God's people, it robs God of his glory, and it causes the body to not function in a way that it should. Galatians 5, verses 14 and 15. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Ever since the church was born, we have seen the reality of this warning among God's people, where there is destruction because of carnal division. But instead of complaining, instead of fighting and bickering, Paul gives us an example, and he does it in almost all of his letters, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. He gives us the remedy to avoid such devouring of one another, and that is that we learn to be thankful for one another. Paul, in almost all of his letters, gives thanks for the saints, including those infamous carnal Corinthians. We can learn a lot from Paul's dealing with the carnal Corinthians. Oh, they were kind of a headache for him. They used a lot of his time and energy. But because he loved them, because he was thankful for them, which he expressed in his letter, he gave them what they needed. And I believe that many of them, some of them, received what he had to say, and Christ was glorified because of it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. And we'll stop there. The whole passage is good there. But that's the example that Paul gives us in all of his writings, to give thanks for the brethren. There are so many destructive divisions among God's people that arise from personality conflicts that could simply be avoided if we would follow Paul's example. Be thankful for the saints. Thank God for the saints. If we would spend more time praying for the saints and thanking God for our brothers and sisters in the Lord instead of complaining about them, I believe that we would see more spiritual growth in ourselves and in those that we gripe about. If we learn to give thanks, it's good. It's beneficial to give thanks. Complaining and dissatisfaction are not profitable for you, for the body of Christ. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, if you'll turn there, so we just see that Paul makes this statement clearly. And just like a good, loving father, he wants to tell us over and over and over again, because we are such forgetful children, and we need to be reminded that it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Colossians 3, 12 to 15. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing, that is, putting up with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and what? Be thankful for that. Be thankful for the body of Christ. Even those that cause you trouble, be thankful for them. Pray for them. Ephesians chapter 5. The next snare that we can avoid by being thankful is the snare of covetousness, or simply of sin. You will find that carnal Christians are unthankful Christians. Let's see if that's scripture or not. Ephesians 5 and verses 1 to 4. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Did you see what it said there? We can do one of two things. We can either sin, or we can be thankful. But we can't do both. Thankfulness will keep you from carnality. Covetousness that's mentioned here, to covet anything outside of the will of God, that's sin. If God says, this is not for my children, doesn't bring me glory, it doesn't advance them in my plan and purpose for them, it's sin. It's outside of the will of God. But if you covet that which doesn't belong to you, that's sin. But thankfulness causes you to focus on the things that God says are yours in Christ Jesus. All the things that are found in the will of God for his children, you can be thankful for that, and that will keep you from looking over here and coveting what is outside of his will. Do you see why thankfulness is a good thing? It's beneficial to you. I have seen the devastation of sin and disobedience that follows those who walk after the lust of the flesh. And I'm so glad that God has given us an alternative to that. It's called his will. Obedience. Loving, thankful obedience. The moment we stop thanking God for the path of righteousness is the moment we're starting down the path of carnality. You can either be thankful, or you can lust after that which is not for you. 1 Corinthians 15:10, the next snare that can be avoided by being thankful. Do you see how much the scripture talks about the need to be thankful and why it's good, why it's beneficial? It will keep you from laziness and indifference. When you look at Christians that are the most active in their service and ministry to the Lord, not only in the local assembly, although that's a good starting place, but in their witness at work, at school, in the neighborhood, in their every relationship they have. Those that are the most fervent and zealous for the Lord, you will find them to be thankful people. Thankful to God for all that he's done for them. And once again, those that are kind of cold and indifferent, what we would call a nominal Christian, they just kind of come to church if it's convenient and think about others and pray about others if it happens to, you know, again, be convenient for them. You'll find they're really not that thankful for the grace of God. And this is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:10 to begin with. We'll jump down to the end of the end of the chapter, but 1 Corinthians 15:10 says this, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Jump down to verses 56 to 58. This 15th chapter deals with the wonderful doctrine of the resurrection of the believer in Christ. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God." There's that thanks again. "Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because I'm thankful for this truth of the resurrection, because I'm thankful for the victory of the cross, the Apostle Paul says, I labored more than they all. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." People who are grateful for the hope of the gospel are faithful, zealous. They seek opportunities to minister to others and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Thankful Christians actively seek for ways, actively seek for ways to express their gratitude for God's grace. It's not because the preacher makes them feel obligated, but it's because the grace of God has overwhelmed them. What God has done for me. When was the last time you just came into the presence of God and said, "Thank you, Father, for your grace. What can I do to express my gratitude?" As Isaiah said, "Lord, here am I, send me." Do you see how that's an expression of the gratitude of the heart for the grace of God? And do you see how a life of selfishness and carnality is an expression of ingratitude? I'm so thankful to know that a life lived for the glory of God is never in vain. Every other kind of life outside of the will of God is totally pointless. But thank God for the privilege to serve Him. One last one. The snare of complaining and bitterness. Philippians 2. Discontentment is a cancer. It will eat at you till it destroys you. Bitterness and complaining in the local assembly is a cancer that brings destruction. But once again, there's a remedy. There's a vaccine against the cancer. It's called thanksgiving. Philippians 2, 14 to 16. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. "Do all things." Does that really mean that? "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Jump down to verse 17 of Colossians 3. Colossians 3:17. "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." How? "Giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him." So many of God's people are so quick to complain about everything and everybody. Saints, we need to be quick to give thanks, because it's beneficial to us. It protects us. It brings God glory, but it also protects us. That's why, as a good father, he commands us over and over and over, say thank you, be thankful. This is why Paul tells us that we are to give thanks always for all things. He wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You come to the scenes in heaven in the book of Revelation, and what do you see? Those that have reached the highest place in glory, what do you see them doing? You see them praising and worshiping, but it also says specifically, and they give thanks. Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to be among that number. But I must constantly allow the Spirit to examine my own heart and my own mind. A lot of times people say, Brother Doug, you're awful hard on us today. Well, I'll tell you this, you don't get it any harder than I do. Because I get it from the Holy Spirit to prepare these lessons. A lot of times I'm writing out those notes and, okay, you're not done with me yet, are you? Are you glad God's not done with you? May the Lord help us to be sensitive to the instruction of a loving Father who tells us to be thankful.